You know, I mean, we just, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Welcome to the Dad Bod Pod. I'm your host, Jamie Schleicher. With me today is our trusty tri-host and unpaid intern, Seth Wispelway. Seth, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Happy New Year, everyone. May it be so.
Happy New Year. First pod of 2024. As always, we'll hope it's not the last pod ever, but it is the last pod of season six, and we can run through the playoff rounds real quick for all of our loyal listeners who are not in the league, catch them up on the happenings, our new league champion, and who knows what else we have in the goodie bag for today's episode.
I know. Rumors of our demise have been greatly exaggerated. Rumors started by me.
Got to keep the rumor mill grinding.
Yeah.
But when we last left our listeners, I believe we had done the playoff preview. So we can just go round by round. Of course, as we mentioned in the quarterfinal, both of us had byes. So automatically advancing to the semifinals, which was good news for me because most of the teams would have knocked me out, if not all of them. My team had one of its worst weeks. So,
and the best I did in the so-called playoffs was during my bye week that I shared with you. Real quick, you and I predicted that the two of us would be in the final.
We did.
Came 50% right on our guess there. And we'll get to who won in a little bit, if you can stand it. And I called that Matt would go through, which I don't think you did.
I did not. I took Travis on that one.
And he did. And then we both called
Brian.
Brian going through. That's right.
Yeah.
Who really did not do good.
He did not.
He got renamed for an entire year. and we're going to try to keep it family friendly. But he's sitting on a tough name and tough loss to motivate him going into 2024.
That is a tough name. He's got a young child at home. I'm just glad they don't know how to read. So that's all we'll say. That's all we'll say about his name.
So that put you playing Zach and me playing Matt in the semis.
In the semis. And Zach starts out hot on Thursday night. Matt Stafford puts up a bunch of points. Kyren scores a late touchdown to bring it back, but was feeling a little bit nervous after the Thursday night game. Ultimately, my team doesn't do a whole lot. Lamar puts up a decent score, but really, Breece Hall put the team on his back and carried me to what ultimately ended up being a fairly comfortable 26-point victory. So I put up 119, which was the highest score in the semifinal, but would have been trounced by, was that Sean's team in the loser's bracket? The 11-12 game between Sean and Steven almost ended up with higher scores than everybody in the semis, but my team would have beaten Steven.
Right. And to all those who annually wander from the peanut gallery and throw monkey feces at the monkey pod, that oh, well, the loser's bracket would have beat the championship. My only reply to that is they should have scored more points in the regular season. They had 13 whole weeks to get right. So you moved on. I also similarly put in a whole monkey pod of a game. I flirted with getting renamed by Matt. It was that bad in the semifinals. I think Saquon on Monday night saved me that indignity. I don't know. I might have been renamed once, and I think it was by Matt. And other than that, Tony Pollard did me dirty this year. But I think of stuff like that, and I keep joking about it. But the truth is, even though I drafted him by accident, I meant to draft Nick Chubb. So who's to say I wouldn't have been Steven if I had gotten what I wanted? So I can't complain. This is the way things break. I am bummed not to finish third, though, because I don't know if we're jumping ahead to finals week and the third place game, but I did not win that.
I mean, who did you even set a lineup? If I was playing for third place, I wouldn't.
I did. I cleared my bench mostly. I took a gander, I think, on Tyjae Spears, and I think Rashawn Johnson would have done best. But other than that, that's just my flex. All my starters were pretty poopy. Here's what screwed me up in the semifinal week. All my matchups were terrible. The 49ers, and I knew this going in, the 49ers were playing the Ravens. The Eagles were playing the Giants, I guess. It wasn't good. It was a bad week, and that's why I kind of fear the Ravens in real life. As someone who doesn't care that they win the Super Bowl. But yeah, my all-star lineup just ran into a brick wall of tough NFL defenses. The final week, third place game, I want third place, but there was nothing really for me to do except keep trotting the same guys out at that point and hoping someone broke big, but I don't think it was close. But again, yeah,
Zach beat you by 21 or so. Did he have anybody
it really was go off?
I know it wasn't Austin Eckler, because
it was weird because I don't think it went crazy, but yeah, it was basically in the bag by Monday night. And what we were all interested in seeing was not whether you'd win, because I don't know where things were Sunday night, but whether Jamie Schleicher was going to not only win, which we knew, but set all new records. The great goal, which seems unreal, of hitting 200 points. You came close.
I did. Oh. And yeah, started off strong Thursday night. I played Breece Hall, who put up 23 points, I want to say. So that was great. He did what he had to do. I bet against Joe Flacco. I thought, I'm going to pick up the Jets D. I'm going to start the Jets D. There's no way that Joe Flacco has just become the best quarterback in the NFL.
The Flaconnaissance is real. The Flaconnaissance.
I was like, it has to end. It's going to end against a Jets defense that has made a lot of elite quarterbacks, not named Dak Prescott, look very human this year. And he had like 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half. So that was a bet that was not looking like it was going to go my way. But then he throws a pick six and the Jets D finishes with 12 points. And it's not in the bag, but I'm feeling pretty good about, you know, a 36 point lead after Thursday night.
Yeah,
I have.
Matt was putting up respectable numbers. Matt was putting up. He finished in the green, near almost 120 points total. I guess we haven't officially announced it. Jamie Schleicher is your 2023 Dad Bod Fantasy Champion by a mile, like with all authority rendered by kings and emperors, with 196.64 points. So let's officially state your podcast host, who's never before finished in the top three, despite being in the league 8 of its 9 years of existence, is the now and current reigning and defending champion.
And we were talking about balloons.
200 points. Nope, didn't happen.
Thanks. I still have no idea what happened with that, but I love it when Zencaster just throws balloons out there.
That's
but
right. But anyway, we were talking about you were saying yeah,
before the pod, you know, there was a little bit of insecurity. This is my sixth year hosting the podcast and spend a lot of time on fantasy football, but I had never come close to a championship in this league. I think it was Matt who asked a question of, you know, after the first round, do teams get reseeded like they do in the regular NFL playoffs?
Oh, sure.
And I was under the impression that's what it was. I would face the lowest seed, and that's how it would go. Zach corrected me and let me know that, no, the bracket is set, and I would play the winner of Zach versus Brian. So that just goes to show you that, like, I haven't even really been in the playoffs past the first round
right.
to understand how they work. So I was feeling a little bit like a punky fraud, but yeah, the boys came together, got lucky in that quarterfinal round. Talk about the importance of the bye, got the bye, would have been eliminated, make it to the semifinals, put up a solid score in the semifinals. My semifinal score would have beat Matt's final score. So pretty happy. Anytime you get 120 in a week, that's solid. You know, the other team has to go off to beat you. And yeah. Then in the final, talked about it in the Thanksgiving special. If you go back and listen to my submission there, but didn't really have a week up until a week or two before the playoffs that really everybody on my team that's capable of big scores hit on the same week.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael talked about
it. Concern from Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And Michael talked about it on the pod of like, I had a good record. Fantasy pros experts liked my team. I ranked pretty highly in that list that Zach would send out every week. The league feared me. I ranked on the Tears of Fears poll, but I was getting pretty lucky in that everybody was having their worst week against me and scoring under 100 points.
That's right. You were never in the top six of most points against. Actually, you were usually in the bottom two or three each week. So you were putting up points in the top six, but you weren't even in the top one or two until the very end. The statistics confirm your luck, but it's week by week. You beat me and I was second in the league. I'm a little bummed. I don't know. I don't know what the real life corollary is. I, in checking statistics in my role as intern, so I won the whole thing the first year, 2015, and I have not even been in the championship game since. I finished third a couple of times, but I've only missed the playoffs twice, the top tier playoffs. So in 9 years, I've been in them seven times. But yeah, haven't sniffed the crown in a while. And now we have a crown. You have a crown. You have a trophy.
I do. I got myself a ring and a little laser engraved plaque to memorialize this momentous occasion. And yeah, it's on the, you can see it if you look in the back. Our Patreon subscribers to the YouTube channel can also see the empty shelf with one trophy, and that's, you know, fun. There's room for more. So looking to come back next year.
That's
but
fun.
The team went off. I think you, as our intern, dug back into the record books, and 196.64 is the highest score ever recorded by a fantasy team in the Dad Bod League.
In 9 years, yeah. I think the previous record was around 193 something. And a couple other, I think, you know, now and then every year, I this year scored 160 something. And you think you're going to get, oh, if everyone else hits, it's hard. But yeah, it's a, what a game to get it in though, the championship, because again, Matt scored in the green. Matt put up a solid score that has probably won championships before, depending on the year, and just no question. So congrats, my man. It's, even though you're my nemesis, I guess we take a break between January and August. Though I'm definitely rooting for teams, not the Cowboys in the real life playoffs coming up. We'll get to that. But yeah, congrats. Well deserved. And I like the parody. It makes for fun storylines when different guys win it each year. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I like to think that, yeah, you and I are just, you know, no one else is here to dispute it right now. But like, we're going for the same guys in the draft, you know. So I'll see you near the top of the heap next year for sure. But congrats. Enjoy it while you can. I think it would be fun to, you know, we're scattered all over the country, so I don't know where this would reside except with the winner. But in addition to, like, getting a ring, like, I think that's awesome that you did that. But if we got, like, you know, like a silver plate and engraved, like, each year's champion, you know, on it.
Oh, could, like, kind of like the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, take it to an engraver and just add a name and that sort of thing each year. And, you know, maybe the commissioner holds on to it or something. But, you know, you pass it around or present it at each year's annual combine that we are determined to manifest. Stay tuned for some more of that in this finale episode as well, because we got some ideas, which I think also fall to Michael Binns's nameless wife and Stephen Luck to help realize.
Yes. More coming on the combine. We had a big group of teams in the murky middle this year. The clumpy knots of the league, if you will.
Yeah, there was a lot of clarity there in the middle.
And then we had Steven and Sean very much outside of the murky middle, fighting it out in that last place game.
Were they fighting it out, though? Like, were they even fighting?
I mean, Sean destroyed Steven, so...
Sean did not want to... I'm sure Sean's a loyal listener this year, but he did not want to do the combine, even though we thought he'd be great for it.
He's got a lot on his plate, so glad that honor went to Steven, and excited to see what him and Michael's nameless wife come up with next August.
Yeah, well, stay tuned, because we got some ideas to help you along there in case not everyone can be in the same place at the same time.
Yep. So couple more quick storylines from the final. I was going up against one-time champion Matt McNichol, that's co-host right. of the pod, longtime roommate of mine.
Yes.
So we were definitely sending some texts back and forth as the Thursday and Saturday, Sunday games went on. By the end of the Sunday afternoon games, the outcome was very much not in doubt. And then it went to the 200 point watch and whether Pacheco could help me crest that.
Ooh.
But then the other storyline, which there still may be a true crime miniseries coming this off season, but you know, there are rumors of collusion that hang out there. And if Matt were to win the league, man, that storyline looms a little bit. So it That's was really cool. An act of service on my part to make sure that stigma and cloud didn't hang over the league.
That's right.
And we would have a completely untainted champion.
That's right. No, that's important. Certainly question marks about the self-admitted aid that he was giving to another person, ostensibly Jesse McNichol, on how to run their team, trades between these two, that sort of thing. So I look forward to that juicy, juicy grist next year. Good storylines. I don't know if you have another one you want to throw out there, but it kind of makes me think about the the once and future lineup of the league. You know, we bumped up to 12 this year with two rookies, Jesse and John. And, you know, you never know. Life things happen, and we don't hold it against any guys. But I'd be surprised if we had to fill a spot to get back to stay at 12 this next year, which begs the question is, like, maybe there's still a Robert or a Drew out there who would get us to 14. Like, talk about parity.
I heard somebody moved to Boston from Sweden. There's rumors out there that a former league member who was abroad is back stateside. So,
yeah,
we'll see what the U.S.-based recruiting efforts look like.
Haven't done a poll. I have question marks maybe about one or two guys. But, like, I think the gravity pull is strong, and so we may be in a position of, if we're adding one, then we got to add another. There could be a surprise, in which case we definitely have some recruiting. But I say that as a commendation for the strength of the league this year, bumping up to 12. And we had robust engagement, maybe not in the group me and the pod, but even those basement dwellers were still working the wire. And speaking of dirty deeds, maybe it's time I admitted to texting Steven to tell him to pick up Kyler Murray that one time.
Oh, no.
I didn't.
Collusion.
Collusion. I just said, hey, I see you need quarterback help. He didn't end up starting him. And he can be yours for, I think it was like $43, because I think you were the only one with that much money and you had 42 left. And he was like, why are you doing this? Is it just to, like, get your nemesis? I was like, it's for a lot of reasons.
it was for one reason.
And I said, yeah, we weren't playing that week, but it was, I think the number one seed was still in question.
Yeah.
And it was gamesmanship to say, like, if I win and Jamie loses, but I think you did fine. You won anyway that week or whatever.
No, I didn't, because that was the week.
Oh, that's right.
I end up not getting Kyler, so I end up starting Derek Carr and Juwan Johnson, and Juwan puts up a goose egg, and Derek Carr might have thrown one touchdown.
It was the Ravens bye week. Game. That's right. It was week 13, and then you won the final week.
Yeah, so anyway. Lamar and Justin Fields both on bye. I start the Saints stack. Does not come through for me.
Which is funny, because Juwan Johnson blew up some other times.
Funnily enough, he number one scoring tight end championship weekend. So, maybe. You know, what are you going to do?
But that was just – that to me is not collusion. That's just good gamesmanship on my part, I'd like to say.
I mean, if you – if you convince Steven to pick up a free agent, which he might have done six times all year with his number of injuries, he had Nick Chubb in the IR spot for at least 8 weeks.
Yeah, so there was definitely some helping along. This wasn't like active thing. I mean, Steven is someone I don't know. We would need Caleb's corner for this, but typically – I feel like he gets to like week 12 with still like 95 fab bucks left.
Which is why I thought I had Kyler in the bag, but didn't know that my nemesis had a proxy fab money that he was using. Unbelievable.
Well, it wouldn't have helped me in the playoffs as it turns out. So there we have it. It's always bittersweet when this ends. It's also a little, especially now that the just as an aside, and this isn't on anybody, but it is somewhat of a bummer. I mean, some of it has to do with the fact that there's really only two guys left with any stakes. But with the length of the real life season extending the fantasy season, it's a great time to watch football because it's over the holidays, but it's a bad time. Like, we're all busy with family and friends. So, like, we're kind of watching, but there's a lot more going on. Like, I was watching a lot of games, but the chatter dies significantly because there was, I mean, all the games were like
right.
Christmas Eve and Christmas this year.
That too.
So not everyone's going to be like, not even me on my phone, like, you know, which I think would be fun, like just everyone kind of doing prop bets on the guy. So it's always a little bittersweet that it just has to go quiet right when like everything's on the line. But maybe everyone's bitter and just wants to forget about it all at that point if they're not playing for it.
Right. I know I've been in that space every year except this one. So
yeah, it must be nice for those guys. Womp womp. But you gave us something to root for with the 200.
Yeah, and kicking myself a little bit because Chris Godwin on my bench, if I had the gumption to start him over what basically amounted to my first round pick, my most expensive player, Stephon Diggs, if I start Godwin over him, it's not even close. I score like 210.
Yeah, some of that I respond to with like the tiny violin because we always are.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying.
There's always bench points, but yes, the Buccaneers are a fun story with Baker and Funky Todd Bowles somehow getting them to the playoffs again. But I get what you're saying. It is tough because like it's like me with Tony Pollard. Like over my final few weeks, I could have just played roulette with some of these guys that are backup RBs and they would have outscored Tony. And at the same time, they weren't putting up RB1 numbers. It's just, how do you bench Stephon Diggs? And you can't.
Yeah. It was tough. Going
wrong there.
it was tough because he had scored basically 5 points for the last 6 weeks of the season. I think he had one double digit point game in there, but it was a lot of fives. And, you know, listening to other fantasy analysts in the space, they're like, he's still getting good target share numbers and Josh Allen's targeting him. It's just, you know, there's a lot that's not working out. And, you know, they were saying he's gone off against the Patriots the last 6 times they've played him. So, you know, he's a guy that you lost faith in. He was by far the frumpy rod on my team this week, but he's a guy that you can't bench him because he's still got a chance to go off at any point in time. I don't know if you watched the game last night, but Josh missed him on what would have been like a 90-yard touchdown and just overthrew him by a little bit.
I did happen to be tuned in briefly, and I think I even overheard Joe and Troy saying, like, this is indicative of something. Like, we'll see. Bills are coming in. I mean, at the same time, Bills somehow won the AFC East. Going to make for an interesting finale to Hard Knocks tomorrow night. For those who are listening to this a few days from now, a couple nights ago, between Tyreek's house fire and the Dolphins getting to the playoffs, but not on a winning note. Let's stop promoting HBO.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to gloating about my team because we talk about wanting players on your team that can have those spike weeks, because it really is. It's just a coin toss in the playoffs. Right. You want those guys that can go bananas, have a big point that win you a week. And to almost get 200 points, a lot of those guys happened for me. So this is what that looked like. Lamar Jackson, QB1 on the week. Kyren Williams, Isaiah Pacheco, running backs 1 and 2 on the week. Breece came in somewhere around 8 or 9. DJ Moore, wide receiver 3 on the week. Shout out to my nemesis for that trade. Appreciate you. Also, thank you to...
I got something to say about that later.
Also, thank you to IB John Robinson and before him, Matthew McNichol for both trading Kyren Williams so that his number one running back points could come to my team. Appreciate both you guys.
Accepting an Oscar right now.
I am. It's on, manager, it's on the shelf. Look in the back.
All the people at 20th Century Fox.
And mostly my parents and God. But we're not done yet. So DJ Moore, wide receiver 3. Isaiah Likely, tight end 2.
Yeah.
Only behind Juwan Johnson, who famously got me 0 points in week 15. And then Brandon Aubrey, I think, was kicker 10. Jets defense number 9. So everyone except my number one pick, Stephon Diggs, finishes in the top 10 to help me get all these points. Stephon Diggs, 5 points. Keenan Allen, arguably my second or third round pick.
Wow, talk about teams that went down the gutter like the Jaguars, man.
Who carried me a lot of the season, injured, doesn't play. But man, talk about running hot to finish it out a championship game.
So hot right now. Jamie Schleicher, league champion, podcast host. Glad I just saved you from having to do a solo pod where you just bragged about yourself for an hour.
I know it would have been all of this for at least 70 minutes, but yeah, I think I'm done. I think we've hit on all of the things that I find interesting about my championship. And
I think it's interesting. And I don't bemoan the fact that this goal of a solo pod did not get manifested, because at this point it would have been just you gloating. It's funny mentioning these things about Stephon Diggs and Tony Pollard and everything. And like, Zach was vocal about never wanting to trade me for DJ Moore, because I was trying to push DJ early on in the season, thinking I was really deep at wide receiver. And obviously he continued to do really good. But Zach was like, I got burned too bad next year. And I'm already thinking about next year's draft, how it's like, you know, these big names who are still probably elite starters on their teams. I'm like, you couldn't pay me to go after Tony Pollard next year, not even as an RB3, you know, like on my team.
What if he has an incredible postseason run? I don't know if you saw yesterday, 70 yards, touchdown, a couple catches.
I did not see that because I refused to even look at him anymore.
Yeah, Tony scored a touchdown, and you're the first person I thought of. I was like, Seth, it happened.
That would have been nice a couple weeks ago. Well, hey, maybe, though, since we're kind of on this high, I came up with a little bit of segment to kind of move us along, and it was inspired a bit by – so I like geeking out about film and movies and have my favorite sites and my favorite critics that always kind of that also tweak what I think, you know, like I'm not just trying to look for confirmation bias, which is always a temptation. And one of them, who I've really grown to like a lot over the years, is David Ehrlich, who's the chief film critic at IndieWire. And he has a funny Twitter feed. But the main reason I discovered him is because about a decade ago, he started doing for his top films of the year, a video montage that he carefully and very cleverly edits together, only using music and songs that were somehow featured in movies from that year. Not necessarily movies from his top 25. So he does a top 25, and there's always an intro. And today, we're recording this on January 8th, he dropped his video for 2023, top 25 best films of 2023. And I don't always agree, but I definitely have never seen them all. And it's always a fun chance. They're always very moving and funny and clever. And I get my like notepad out to be like, what should I put in my queue? Like, that looks interesting. And in the past few years, he's also, because he has two young kids now, he's like, I'll keep making these because they've gotten quite popular. He's like, I'll keep making these if y'all donate to a charity chosen by the director of my number one pick. And so today that dropped, which was a huge highlight for me. I took a personal day off from work, not because of that, but amidst a lot of house tasks and life things, which we'll give a little teaser for at the end of the episode. I sat down with my warm coffee and I was like, ooh, this is the year. And I watch him like several times, not all at once, but, and I was like, hey, we're going to maybe do this pod. And a lot of film critics and book critics and everything are dropping their, you know, best of lists over the past few weeks. I just quick tapped out on my phone, top 10 league highlights.
Whoa.
And, just as a good sum up, in case people are interested in becoming listeners next year about what's going on in this thing, you know, little in jokes. You want me to read those?
Let's hear it.
And that was, don't edit that out, Zach. That was a plug for y'all to look up David Ehrlich's video countdown. I think they're all at videocountdowns.com. They're just great. And I think it helped that the Barbie songs, like I'm Just Ken and the Matchbox 20 cover, he uses those to really clever effect this year, which made it extra fun. So
that's awesome. One of my favorite scenes, I would say, in a movie this year is when all the Kens are covering the song. Incredible.
Oh my God. I had to fly for work on Delta in December. And so Barbie was one of the movies available, I guess. I wasn't watching and I'd seen it, but like anytime someone was watching it kind of diagonal or next to me or everything, and I don't know what I was doing, reading or dozing or watching my own stuff, I just had to pause, even on silent, and just watch it. It's the funniest thing. So that dance scene features heavily in this year's montage. Okay. That was a long way of saying top 10 highlights, not necessarily ranked 10 to 1. And if you want, Jamie has not heard these.
I haven't.
So if I'll pause in case you have any comments.
Instant reaction. I'll try to keep it short because, you know, we don't like these pods to run too long for our executive editor, Zach.
I don't have much after this. We're really going to try to stick this under an hour so that everyone can listen to it like they should be. So top 10 highlights of the 2023 Dad Bod season. Number 10, Stephen Luck, not only drafting on his 40th birthday, but hosting a majority of the league at his house for the draft. Incredible. You were there. I wasn't, but that was still.
I flew in.
That's great. Real class act there. Real class act.
Great times.
Number 9. We've said it on the pod in our regular navel gazing content that, you know, but number 9 highlight was a pod resurgence that included not one, but two nameless wives. If we can manifest that, we can definitely manifest the combine. All right. Top 10 highlight number 8, engaged rookies, John and Jesse. Different vibes and energies, which was great. Jokes and fodder. I'm going to get into more of those in the listicle, but I think we all benefited. And they also helped us get to 12. So it was just a value add on all fronts. It wasn't no filler.
Agree. Great additions to the league, and both showing up on the pod and making strong group me contribution as well. So John, Jesse, thanks for getting us back to 12 and being great additions.
All right. The muddled middle of the top 10 kind of runs a through line here. Number 7, there was a big boost in nemesisery, which is also a new term. Meaning, you know, we had lost some folks who had nemeses in the league. You and I have been going strong for a while. Brian obviously keeps it fresh with Matt as a newer member of the league. But something that was a highlight that stands out that also kind of runs the gamut was, I think from the Thanksgiving special, Jesse telling John that he'd see him in hell. And then John's, who was just like throwing spaghetti against the wall at everyone, almost like diluting the meaning of nemesis. But he's like, I wish you all very small inconveniences. So between hell and tiny inconveniences, being a nemesis took on new and profound meaning, which I think is good and important. It keeps engagement going, especially since we're away from each other.
I do. And we'll just note, losing Robert and Sean's nemesisery, huge loss for the league. The day that Sean musters the vitriol that I saw of him praying over Robert's children to become Alabama fans is the day that the league regains a golden nemesisery. So looking forward to either Robert's return or Sean bringing the big heel energy to someone else in the league.
That's a good reminder that, like, okay, seeds have been planted, but if you want to really manifest it, like you and I did in that one pod where criminal negligence was first coined. But other than that, and Sean and Robert, you got to bring it into the real world.
Mm.
All right, number six, highlight of the year. We're on number six, right?
Yes.
A highlight was, and I think I started this and kept it going as long as we could. But the question marks about whether Matt and Jesse McNichol are in fact different people or not. That was a good conspiracy to have because there were question marks. There were question marks.
That will still possibly be dug into on a off-season miniseries.
Yeah, and at some point there was even claims that there was a sister. Number five highlight, which just kind of helped, speaking of filler, but it was fun and engaging because it actually had resonance for our league, not just the wider world. The Taylor Swift-Travis Kelce relationship, which there were questions, is it a relationship? But I think at this point we can very firmly say she's at every game. Like, it's happening. But loyal listeners know that love of Travis Kelce has resided in this league a long time in the form of our former commissioner. Rest in peace. And
Commissioner Emeritus? Did he lose the title?
No, I'm just saying, I'm wondering if he's still alive.
Okay.
And then Taylor Swift, we've devoted basically an entire podcast episode to her before. Okay. Number four highlight of the year, according to me, is that we have an amazing commissioner. And the highlight is that Zach doesn't seem to sleep. I think he's on the Central Time Zone. Probably East Coast, actually. I don't know. Tennessee.
Yeah, I would have guessed East, but yeah, Tennessee's weird. I think there's like 20 minutes worth of land mass that's on Central Time. But
and this isn't a comparison point with our initial excellent Commissioner Emeritus, who had just epic emails, set the spirit and tone. This is two things true at once. But like Zach had me getting misty-eyed from the get with basically his commission to the league. I mean, it was like King Theoden looking down at the Battle of Pelennor Fields and just mustering the troops. And I'm always impressed. The turnaround time keeps getting better on the pods he's editing. The added bonus this year, the new feature of funny little clips.
The cold opens.
I'm just super impressed by that guy because he has like three kids under age two. It's wild. I guess that's the reason he doesn't sleep. It's when you get your daddy time. I don't know. One last time, just trying to keep it semi-interesting for you, my man. So that's number four. Number three of the top 10 highlights is I think Zach started this joke as commissioner to keep out the riffraff and keep the peanut gallery in line. But we actually had our first 10-page proposal for a rule change.
We did. That's right.
I've started one. I've got a draft on my computer, and I have not finished it. It had to do with a league punishment. But Michael Binns, I don't care that he used AI, took a proposal for a keeper league and made it so. So I think we're probably going to have to take this up in the off season.
It's going to be on the table. Everybody's been forewarned, and you should come ready to potentially draft 1 to 3 keepers next season.
Yeah. And it's just super impressive that someone did that because we joke about it a lot and we feel strongly enough about some of these things, but actually doing it, not only that, he probably did it from a yurt in Glacier National Park or something. So just wild. All right. The number two highlight of the Dad Bod season was we manifested that the long rumored combine is going to take place. And by manifested, me saying this now is also manifesting it.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think we're close. I think we're close. And I have an idea because I don't even know that I can be there in person for an ostensible combine in July or August, wherever 12 guys might be able to get together. We live all over the country. It's crazy. But I have some ideas that I'll save. It doesn't have to be a 10-page proposal. I don't think. This isn't a rule thing. But I think we can come up next year, this coming season, starting in August, September 2024, is the 10th year of the Dad Bod League. And I think it would be really special. We all keep in nominal shape. We're bipedal people who breathe. And I think it would be fun to come up with 10 feats of strength that could be done in person, can be videotaped, and measured. Some of them can be like a benchmark. Like maybe everyone signs up for a free class at Orange Theory Fitness if you're not a member like me on a benchmark day. And you don't have to go back, but it's like, okay, you get an official mile time or a 2 mile time. Or like gymnastics rankings, there's a thing where you submit a video and it gets voted on, like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, that sort of thing. So I think we should do this. More than that, I think there should be some kind of draft stakes involved. This is my last pitch. And I don't know if this is possible within Yahoo. Zach seems to find all kinds of magical ways to play with the back end of that. But like, would the winner, like the overall points total, get like even just 5 more auction draft bucks in the league so that there was this real motivation to get, you know, just 5 more bucks. So I don't know if you have any comments on that, but that was my number two thing, because we keep talking. It's fun to talk about. And I think it would just be a way to not just honor the 10-year part of the league, but also keep us that much more plugged in as a league and as a desirable thing, you know, to do. All right, that's my pitch there.
I like it. And to summarize what I heard there is Steven as our last place finisher and Michael's nameless wife, who generously donated her time and talents to this endeavor, come up with 10... type of events for our in-person Dad Bod Combine, and also 10 alternate events or comparable events those who are unable to attend, to record themselves on video and submit that to the league as well for consideration, having some type of draft stakes again, which I think Steven and Michael's nameless wife should also come up with. And I love it. 10 years of dad botting culminating in feats of strength. Incredible. Right.
Yeah. With some kind of bonus involved. Like, and it could be something, replicable. Like say it was like a standing broad jump. You can videotape, like I could videotape, my kid could videotape that in the front yard and you get like 3 attempts and you could videotape the measurements. And so you could see it and it's like, and it could be on a graded scale. It's not just who gets the farthest gets 5 points. You could be like, all right, top 3. It's like trivia night, you know, you get 5 points, 3 points, 1 point or something like that. So, all right, play with that. We might need to write a 10-page proposal that requires Steven to do this, though, because we definitely manifested that outcome. All right, and the number one highlight of the Dad Bod 2023 season. This isn't me just being nice, but it kind of is. But I have it as not just Jamie winning the championship, but winning it with 196.64 points. Like, no doubters. We have a big crown to chase next year. And you have a trophy. You have a ring. That was just a highlight of a way for the season to end. So that's my top 10.
Wow. Especially after you upstaged me in the group me this week, didn't even let me fully celebrate my reign as champion. This was an unexpected top one, that me winning the championship with the most outrageous score in our league's history, defeating my longtime roommate and podcast co-host Matt McNichol by over 88 points would be number one. But it was a special moment for me, and we do get serious on the pod from time to time. Everybody has things going on in their quote unquote real lives that make this escape and community so life-giving and enjoying. I don't know why I said enjoying there. That didn't make grammatical sense. But it really was a lot of fun to enter the record books with esteemed champions like yourself, Matt, Travis, Steven, who I'm pretty sure has won at least 4 or 5 times, Michael, Caleb, really a Brian, a pantheon of champions. Just honored that my name is in the record books. I've got a ring and a plaque to commemorate said event. And yeah, there's just always personal stuff that makes this enjoyable. So it was fun to be in the record books with you guys.
Right. I'm proud to know you. And that's certainly true. I'm not going to rehash old seasons, but man, this league is, kept me afloat in different ways. Just we can't overestimate the role of mindless distractions in our lives to get through the grind. And so this happens to be an outlet. So proud to know you. I did upstage you. That's a teaser trailer for the premiere episode of season 7 of the pod.
Season 7, which could be a live dad combine.
Yeah, not even special. Patreon subscribers get that now. But I don't know that I'd say upstage. It's just to say, like, one thing happened in one sphere of life and your championship happened in another, and now you're getting all the time in the world to gloat and gloat and gloat. So, but I did have some big life updates over the holidays that made me forget for a fraction of a second that I didn't win and just actually fell down hard in the playoffs. So let that be, mark your calendars for August or September, listeners, because I'm going to pre-stage everybody. But I'm definitely coming back to the league. Nothing could stop that. Actually, I'll probably need it more than ever and have even more time to do it. All right. So that's all the teaser again for me, except for the fact that it's confirmed I don't have a frumpy rod. Real quick, we still got time. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. I was going to say, noticeable absence from your top 10 list was a certain Cowboys Cardinals game. So just incredible, yeah, that didn't even make the top 10. But maybe I'm setting something up here because I know that you have a not top 10 list as well. Which nope, we have 8 minutes to get through to keep Zach from hating us.
You set me up perfectly while I was doing this. So the reason I left that off is that was one of the highlights in the Thanksgiving special. But I was trying to go for things that were kind of universal for the whole league. But I think it's fun, even though I don't think the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl, that technically they could. And even though they lost, you could possibly say that, hey, I saw them on the first Super Bowl in like 20 years or whatever it is. 30 years.
Crazy.
But that is definitely a highlight of the season for me. So in the spirit of SportsCenter, not top 10, this is a way to kind of throw fuel on the fire for next year. Not my vague teaser that I don't want on the internets. I'm going to throw a little trash. And so definitely jump in here if you want, because we had some real highlights. I wouldn't say these are low lights. They're just, come on, guys, do better. Or low lights of the season for the league. Maybe it wasn't the guys. So these definitely aren't ranked like the other ones were. Oh, actually, some of these are personal. All right, let's do them in order of the season, if I can do that. So not top 10. Number 10, drafting two kickers as well as two players who aren't even playing in the league. I don't know who did that. Do you want to say?
Yeah, Jesse, us naming you in this moment, I think you'll look back on this when we're in season 12 of the Dad Bod. combine. Like Seth looks back on his inaugural draft, drafting two kickers, and
I won the following year on that one.
Yeah, so it's just a journey, and I guarantee you won't make that mistake next year.
That's right. So while these aren't the not top 10 isn't necessarily universal, but they are things that we all derived a lot of enjoyment and mockery of others for. Keeping in that same vein, not top 10 play of the year, number 9, smashing accept on the wrong trade.
Oh. Also a great moment
from Jesse. All right, not top 10 play of the year, number 8. We've got a whole podcast devoted to how this could possibly be a good thing and pay off. But in retrospect, not top 10, number 8, the all IR Pro Bowl team draft.
Big swing, big miss. But, you know, would not be surprised to see Mr. Michael Binns back in the playoffs next year.
No, that man thinks very seriously about his team, is a very smart fantasy football player. I'd be curious to have him on a pod earlier next year, probably post-draft, because he's not going to give away his strategy, and see what, if anything, he learned or did differently, because it could have been a home run. I think the tricky thing, real quick, and I haven't studied this closely, is he got home run hitters, but the tricky thing is, if you're missing 4 or 5, 6 games, people like Puka Nacua, because we're talking about Cooper Kupp here, can show up and be just as good and maybe take away some of those points, you know, as the team gets in its groove before the IR gets back. Okay. Not top 10. This is funny. Not top 10 play number 7. Deion Sanders hype.
Disagree. I'm about to bust out my prime sunglasses.
Well, the reason I put this on kind of in the same vein as Taylor and Travis made the top 10 is because for a particular member of the league, Sean, this was a source of much consternation and he let the league know. And as it happened shortly after he let the league know, Colorado just kind of fell off the face of the map, even though I think there was like a whole Amazon Prime series about it right around then.
Also then, true, and admittedly biased due to Deion's famed Dallas Cowboys years and that I'm now 25 minutes from Boulder. So
yeah.
I get it. Fair enough.
All right.
Number six.
Yeah, sorry. Moving it along. Every member didn't pod, and I don't put that on Jamie.
You know, tried to make it as easy as possible. Brainstormed.
We cold called
maybe at midnight. Who knows? I don't know if there's any way to tell. You know, gave the option of, you know, 30-second voice clips that we could use as cold opens and those types of things. And listen, some guys didn't want to do it this year. Love those guys. They've participated in the past, expect them to participate again at some point in the future. But yeah, my door's always open and the mic's always on. So whenever you guys want to come back, it'll be an exciting time for the league.
All right. Number 5, this is me grousing, not top 10, trading DJ Moore for Darren Waller and Jackson Smith and Jigba was not the most helpful for my team and definitely was helpful for your team. So that's throwing in a little nemesisery, but man, that didn't pay off. I think I gave you Eli Mitchell and Justin Fields, but really you got points and I did not.
Grumpy nod of affirmation, championship weekend, DJ Moore, wide receiver number 3. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah. And they did good down the stretch. All right. Not top 10 play number 4, for the league. Travis and Sean died.
Like for real? Because
no, they just.
I got to stop making jokes if that's the case.
These pillars of the league, you know, these guys have been in it since 2015. They're busy. They each got 3 kids and professorships and work and stuff.
And like publishing books and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But
nerds.
The rest of us are also doing things. So I'm just throwing hay because again, it's fantasy football, and they're probably having fun in real life somewhere. But I only throw it out there because I think a lot of us love it when they engage.
And I think the old phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder, they have a presence. And they were still around this year with occasional
groupie
messages and things like that. But yeah, they were missed. And I think that's one of the greatest compliments you can have as a person is when not as present as you've been in the past, that people miss you. So yeah, I hope they only take our fodder and comments as the huge compliments they're intended to be.
That's exactly it. This Knob Top 10 is ultimately kind of an episode and season ending fodder, motivation, fun for next year, grist, to give ourselves something to like grease the skids for the first pod and turn it around. Keeping in that vein, number three, I think, of the Knob Top 10 was Steven and Sean's teams and records. The intern, I have looked it up, and Steven, so while you said a new record with points scored in a game, Steven set a new record for losses in a season because Yahoo counts over the course of the playoffs too. So he lost 14 losses. He set a new league record for losses and least points over a season. Sean set a new record for least points scored over a whole season. And I think I double checked real quick. I think Sean scored over 100 like twice. Something just atrocious like that. And as we know, they in the regular season both finished with two wins. So there was a muddled middle, but like they were eliminated with a few weeks left to go in the season. So that was just a not top 10 because invariably, and it makes sense, you lose a bit of engagement from guys when they're like, well, you know, not playing. All right.
Yeah, two crumpled wads of rosters there, and rough seasons.
Injuries were hard.
I was there a couple years ago. You know, this is the benefit of not having a keeper league. And
yeah, I mentioned not making the playoffs only twice. One of those, I finished 12th, and it was so terrible. Like, I forgot until this year when I was looking up the stats that Matt had even won a championship, and the reason it was is because it was the year I finished 12th. I had no idea. And it was that. All right. Number two, not top 10 play, forgetting to start a kicker in the playoffs.
Matt McNichol. Historically anti-kicker. And I only regret that didn't come back to bite him and he still won. Yeah. So I don't know. Could you say the real not top 10 here was playing against a person who...
It's funny you should ask, because the number one top 10 play of the 2023 Dadbot season was losing in the playoffs to a team without a kicker.
Yeah. As I was saying it, I realized where number one had to be.
Yep. This is why it's fun to co-host these with you. Try host these with you. I don't want to usurp the role. So that was fun to just kind of go down memory lane. And it's also helpful because each year is a new year. So we can come back to this episode to remember what happened all in one place. But those were the highlights and I'll call them the silly lights of 2023. Real quick, the real life playoffs and Super Bowl are coming up.
They are. We've got the playoff bracket set.
Ooh. I think it's going to be a good, fun year. I think the 49ers, the Ravens, those two are the favorites to win. I haven't actually looked at Vegas odds, but those seem like the prohibitive favorites to be in the Super Bowl. But who are you rooting for? You don't have to like go through every game, but like, what storylines do you like aside from the Cowboys, though? If you have to say something about them, go for it.
Yeah, I think the Niners and the Ravens are the prohibitive favorites. After that, you've got the Cowboys and the Bills. The Bills weren't even guaranteed to make the playoffs.
That's wild.
They still had like the third, fourth, fifth highest odds of winning the Super Bowl. Yeah. So I think the Bills making a run could be fun. You know, we're always rooting for our boy Travis's Chiefs if they can find somebody to catch passes.
Are we though? I've kind of soured on.
Wow.
Let me say this. I'm not against the Chiefs. I find a couple other AFC, and I've never been an AFC guy. I think the Joe Flacco storyline is really compelling because the Browns just feel like underdogs and it's fun. And he's like our age or older and he's just like slinging it and they don't even have Chubb and all that. I think on the flip side, the Texans storyline is really fun between rookie CJ Stroud. They're without Tank Dell and the coach Ryan as a first year coach. So I'm kind of, and it's fun to root for the underdogs because these teams still have to go into Arrowhead. I think it's the Dolphins first. And on that note, like it happens every year, I've got a Hard Knocks bias. And so I'm not against the Chiefs. I think it's fun. I love Mahomes and Kelce and all that and Tay-Tay in the stands. But, you know, I know the Dolphins players now and it's like, all right, so I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, but my heart is with the Cowboys. If the Cowboys don't win on the NFC side, would probably go Lions, Niners as the teams I'd like to see there. And then, yeah, I think there's a lot of fun storylines on the AFC side. And I've drafted some playoff best ball teams. So, you know, there could be certain Super Bowl combinations that are fun for me and if I get some of those teams to advance to the money rounds.
Who is this insolent prick? Well, it's funny, being an NFC guy, I do have stronger feelings about NFC teams where it's like, oh, here's who I'm going to have fun rooting for on the AFC. It's more who am I rooting against in the NFC. As a Giants fan, I mean, the Eagles are kind of just falling all apart.
The implosion has been incredible. And yeah. They got banged up this past week. So does Hurts play? Does AJ Brown play? They've got some big question marks and they weren't looking good before those guys got banged up.
That's right. So I definitely don't mind them losing. And I'm not sorry. I'm sorry, not sorry to say. I definitely don't mind the Cowboys losing. But I do think having been a teenager in the years where like Aikman and Emmitt Smith were killing it, like I am compelled by the whole, they are still like, and I'm a Yankees fan, but they're the Yankees of the NFL, and so it's compelling always to watch them, so I'll give them that. Other than that, I think the Baker Mayfield storyline's kind of fun. I don't think – I'm not a big fan of the Bucks. And, yeah, like you said, 49ers are fun to watch, and growing up, my mom's from Michigan. I mean, I'm still always a Giants fan, but, like, Lions were always kind of this, like, passive number two, and I think it's fun that they, yeah, haven't won the division – in like 40 years, let alone made the playoffs and how, you know, 20, 30, whatever it is, decades. And they're, you know, they got a fun coach and a fun player. And it's like, so I think if I was rooting for someone, it's the Lions. And then I'll go with the 49ers if they don't make it. So it's going to be a fun playoff year.
Yeah. I'm always just looking for players or coaches that I can root for. And I really don't know if there's any team so that could make the Super Bowl where I couldn't be happy for someone to win it. Like if Joe Flacco wins a Super Bowl this season after like coming back with six weeks left in the season.
The Cleveland Browns
and the just becoming the best quarterback in the NFL for, you know, 6 weeks of the regular season. And then
he wasn't even in the
playoffs. He wasn't even in the league.
It wasn't like he was at training camp playing backup somewhere.
And then could you imagine if the Lions win the Super Bowl and, you know, this Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford trade works out for both teams, especially Jared Goff, who was kind of like, you know, kind of seen as the joke of that trade and, you know, rumors about him getting, you know, cut or released or whatever. And for him to go to Detroit and win a Super Bowl would be incredible. Yeah. Shanahan finally getting one. You talked about the Texans. I think there's a lot of fun storylines, and the most fun one would be Dak finally silencing all the haters and CeeDee Lamb cementing himself as the number one wide receiver in the league, but
you know, would.
We'll see what happens.
You would. No, that's right. It really, the question should have been, who don't we want to see in the Super Bowl? And I guess it would have to be the Steelers and the Rams. That would be the worst Super Bowl.
Yeah, and or Steelers, Eagles. And coming from a Pennsylvania native, that would still be tough to watch.
Yeah, and the good news is none of those teams are getting close. So it's going to be fun to watch whoever's in it. Storyline on 49ers Ravens. I mean, the Ravens have just been putting a hurt on the – they're the only team that's been putting a hurt on the best teams. And, like, they shut down the 49ers and several other playoff teams. So,
my team peaked at the right time. They could be that team that was kind of average for most of the year and then just get hot at the right time. And if they stay hot for a few more weeks – could be a Ravens Super Bowl.
Exactly right. Well, it's hard to say goodbye, but I guess we should at some point.
Yep. And fittingly, we kept this under an hour for Zach. So you're welcome,
did
Zach.
You know?
Okay, we did not. But we did say we're wrapping up like 45 minutes ago. So,
you know, this is in the way that a baker's dozen is 13. This is our baker's dozen, so I'm still pretty proud of us. But to you loyal listeners, I'm proud of you for spending your time doing whatever it is you're doing while you're listening to these.
Hopefully it's running marathons and training for the Dadbot Combine. But, man, it's been a year. Season 6, I finally won a championship. And... had some cool stats that we shared in the Spotify Wrapped of our podcast. It's been cool to see engagement continue and another fun year of the tradition.
Yeah, it was a fun year. It's going to be a busy off season in the NFL. So, I'm sure when I read the news of whatever, cause I kind of stopped paying attention until August. I'm going to be like, as long as Saquon Barkley's still a Giant, I'll be all right. Having fun with the other stuff. It's going to be weird if he goes somewhere else, but let's save that for another time. There's a lot of grist to chew on.
And a whole lot of time to chew it. So for the last time in season 6 of the pod, if you didn't win the championship, you can go fall in a well.